Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 2nd, 2024. This is Dr. Veronica MacIver, and I want to lend my voice in the discussion on crime in our Bahamaland. Let me be clear. There is no one solution in minimizing deviant behavior in our society, and we can't blame one party or one person. This matter is complex and multifaceted, and we need to concentrate our efforts on being proactive and treat the root causes of crime. Yes, amending the Bail Act, adding more courts, having saturation patrols is good, but is reactionary at best and is a short-term solution. Let's look at some of the root causes of crime. Number one on my list is poverty. Extreme income inequality, we know it as the have and the have-nots, have been associated with high crime rates. A large gap between the wealthy and the poor can lead to social tensions, resentment, and a perception of injustice, all of which may contribute to criminal behavior. Number two on my list is illiteracy. The majority of our people are not well-educated. Number three, dysfunctional families. There is abuse, neglect, and the Lord knows we have broken homes, all leading to an increase in crime. Number four is cultural norms. Some of us tend to glorify criminal behavior. Number five on my list is environmental effects. We know that in some of the high crime neighborhoods, they lack positive role models. And again, this is where urban development and social programs is badly needed. Number six on my list is peer pressure. Delinquent friends tend to encourage and influence others to join a gang. Seven is mental issues. Persons struggle to cope with emotions and impulses. Number eight on my list is substance abuse. Lord knows, you only have to walk around Nassau and see a lot of people walking around. They look spaced out. Either they are on drugs or alcohol or whatever. And lastly, on my list is number nine, is systemic injustices. It's leading to a feeling of resentment and lack of opportunities. These are real issues, and a comprehensive approach is needed, like implementing social programs, improve education and employment opportunities. Now, I will now speak about some of the solutions that I see that will help to guide our beautiful Bahamas. Number one, tourism is too fragile to be our number one industry. We need to focus on our natural resources for export. Diversification is key. I will repeat that. Diversification is key. Number two, bring back our sovereign wealth fund. We have to build people and not just concentrate on building roads, bridges, and infrastructure. There are over 196 countries in the world that have a wealth fund for its people. Obviously, they see some merit in it, right? I don't see why we can't. Number three on my list for solutions is effective law enforcement. This relates to our cultural norms. For example, we know that some police officers are taking bribes, and you don't want to see some of our politicians get away with white-collar crime and corruption. Number four on my list is improve education. Tertiary education, whether local or international, in my humble opinion, should be available to all students free of charge. Number five, we need a fair and just legal system. Judges, as well as the Commissioner of Police, should never be political appointees. They ought to be elected by the people or by an impartial national board. Number six, economic opportunities. We need to empower our people by giving them a hand up. I'll give an example. We have millions of acres of crown land on the Family Islands, and I don't see why we can't give some land to some of our people to empower them and not just give them a hand out. Providing them with meals on a daily basis or social welfare is more or less like a band-aid approach. It's not empowering your people. Number seven, we need to strengthen our anti-corruption laws. Singapore is certainly a country to emulate, as they have been successful in maintaining low levels of corruption and crime. Remember, if the political head is infected, the body will be affected. And my last suggestion is concerning the quality of life, which is number eight. We need a strong middle class. There is evidence to suggest that a stable and sizable middle class contributes to lowering crime. It appears that our middle class is dwindling, and perhaps I would love to get some data on that. And I already said earlier that a large gap between the wealthy and the poor generally leads to social tensions, crime resentment, and a perception of injustice. In closing, we need a system change. Let me repeat that. We need a system change. The band-aid or reactionary approach will no longer serve to sustain us as a developing nation. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.